I just say to you, I'm an ordinary person. I'm a father and a husband. I'm a country boy. I don't have a TV program. I've never written a book, so please excuse me. But I do love God with a passion. Amen? And I know you do. And I just want to speak out of my heart tonight. And I came here with a message from the Lord for you. And I really believe, and in fact, I've preached this message in three churches, and I preached it in a church last night, and Pastor Jim said, are you going to preach that message in our church? And I said, well, yes. So I thought, because I had a witness, I should preach it to you. And the message I want to share with you tonight is this. And I want you to just listen to what, because God's going to say something to you in your spirit. Amen? This is the message. What have you given up on? Now, we're going to read a story in the Bible, in Mark chapter 9, 17 to 27. Amen? Now, before I read that story, I don't want you to turn to these other scriptures, but I want to remind you of this. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 10, 17, don't turn there, I think it's on the screen, that the Lord your God is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor accepts a bribe. In other words, he is the only true God. Say, the only true God. I've been 15 times to Sri Lanka because I have friends there. And there's a great move of God going on in Sri Lanka no one knows about. And, you know, I go there everywhere, preach there with the pastors. And on every corner, like in many nations, there's a God. A metal god, a wooden god, some sort of thing that they worship. But I want to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ is the only true God. Amen? I don't care what people say to you. You don't even have to prove it. He is. He is the one true living God. All those other gods have hands, but they don't feel. They have legs, but they don't move. They have ears, but they don't hear. And they have mouths, but they don't speak. Why? Because they're false gods. And so the Bible says in Ephesians that this beautiful Savior, Jesus, is able to do above and beyond all we could possibly ask or think. Amen? So that's just setting the stage quickly for what I want to say to you. So here the Bible says in Mark chapter 9, 17 to 27, a man in the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought my son who's possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive it out, but they could not. And Jesus said, O unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. When the spirit saw Jesus, immediately it threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground, rolled, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the voice, Father, how long has he been like this? The father said, from childhood. It's often thrown him into the fire and into the water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Jesus said, if you can, everything is possible to him who believes. Immediately the boy's father explained, Lord, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw the crowd running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. He said, you deaf and dumb and mute spirit, come out. I command you to come out. Never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, came out. The boy looked like a corpse. And many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. Isn't it wonderful when we come to Jesus Christ and God speaks into our lives about the things that he's going to do in our future? Amen. Sometimes those things are a definite word from God out of the scriptures. Other times they are longings in your soul, things you're believing for, maybe words that came to you when your pastor was preaching and God spoke to you, or another Christian was speaking to you and God spoke to you supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. They're longings, desires, all sorts of things we're believing for. And we start off believing those things and we have faith for them. The first week goes by, great, I'm believing God. The second week, the third week, the fourth week, the month goes by too. It hasn't quite happened yet, but I'm believing, and yet God is working. Because God is always working, amen? And God's going to keep working. Maybe 2 or 3 months go by, 4 or 5 months, and it hasn't happened, 5 or 6 months, and then you begin to think, well, did I really hear God? Was that desire God? Was my faith okay? And then you think, well, maybe it's not going to happen. And then you think, well, maybe I've done something wrong. And you start to beat yourself up. And then one day, you actually go, well, you sort of give it away. You know, I don't believe the majority of people give up on God himself. I mean, some people do. I've seen that. But there's some things that we think that God can't do. And I've got good news for you tonight. There's things God can do anything he wants. Amen. And the Lord just put this on my spirit for you. He wants to take what you've given up on and bring it to pass. Come on, you can be excited about that. You want me to say that again? He wants to take what seems impossible and what you've almost given up on that no one knows about. Maybe it might be a back condition in your body, your knees, something in your health. Something in your family, something that's going on in your children, financial, even something like confidence in your own life. And it seems like it's not going to happen, so you give up on it. You know, God clearly spoke to me and said, give back to me what you've given up on. Amen? Come on, encourage me. I'm from Australia. You see, this man is a classic example of someone in this situation. Listen to this. Teacher, I brought my son, possessed by a spirit, seizes him, throws him to the ground, and foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth. I don't know if you ever do this. Do you ever read a story in the Bible and then read between the lines and think about it? Like Noah built the ark. Do you know how long it took to build the ark? Amen? No, he didn't build it in like 24 hours. It took him 120 years? You're the teacher. 120 years? You know, you read that this guy's been through a lot of discouragement. He's got a son that's possessed. The son has many times been tried to be killed by the devil. Can you imagine how discouraged, how disappointed he is? Come on. You got to read between the lines of the Bible. You know, when you go through a lot of sickness or a lot of stuff that seems impossible, and you think he would have went through this month after month, year after year, and you know what? Someone who's been through a lot of stuff, they'll often describe it to you word by word. Amen? And you need to let someone do that because it actually opens their heart to get it all out. This guy is a classic example, this father of someone who probably felt like, is this ever going to happen? But you know, I got good news tonight. The same Jesus who stepped into this boy's life is alive today to step into your life and to do the supernatural. What seems impossible to you, whether it's a health issue, a finance issue, a relationship, something in your family, something you're believing for, a marriage situation, a partner, whatever it is, I got good news for you. God can do it. Why? He's the God of the impossible. Amen. Come on. He's the God of the impossible. He's the God of the impossible. Say that. He's the God of the impossible. You know what I realize about this man? His faith had gone down. How do I know? Well, we read it in the story. His faith had gone down. I think actually he probably became disappointed in himself. Can I tell you, listen, sometimes even when you do everything right, It seems like it's not working out, but it is going to work out. Why? Because all things work together for good. Listen to the words of this man. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Now, I've heard people mispreach this. They've said, oh, he was full of unbelief. The Bible doesn't say that. Notice his first words. Lord, I. Say it again. Lord, I. But, and then he said, Lord, help my. You know what he was actually saying? Lord, I do believe. I just need a little help. I've been like that. You look at me now, I look pretty healthy, man. But there was a time when I was suffering, in pain, afflicted, miserable. But you know what? I passed through all that stuff. I got good news for you. The very last chapter of the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 4, gives us a little key here. When Jesus goes into the synagogue, opens up the word, says, the Spirit of the Lord's on me. From that moment, it was on. The war was on. They pick him up and they carry him to the cliff to throw him over. I don't know if you could put that last verse up. Mark chapter 4, verse 30. Luke chapter 4. It's the very last verse. And they pick him up to throw him over the cliff. And suddenly it all stopped. Why? Because God stopped it. And the Bible says this, that he passed through the midst of them and went his way. I got news for you. Listen, you can't go to where you're meant to be without passing through some stuff. Amen? Wouldn't it be nice if I could just get a magic wand and go over here to Pastor Tom and say, well, Tom, you don't have to go through anything. Or this man or that one. But you know what you discover when you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? You will pass through some stuff, but you're passing through it. Say, I'm passing through it. Though I go through the valley. You're not stopping there. You're going to move through it. And I'm a product of passing through sickness, passing through difficulty, afflictions, rejections. I'm still here. Why? Because I passed through it. And I went my way. See, whatever Jesus did, you can do. You can pass through it. You might be as sick as anything tonight, but you're going to pass through it. You might be as broke as anything, but you're going to pass through it. You might be as miserable as anything, you're going to pass through it. Is this good? You still like me? That's good. Amen. He said, Lord, I do believe. He just needed something to happen. What did he need to happen? I believe he just needed the sovereignty of God. Sometimes, and can I exhort you, keep coming to church. Pastor Jim preached this amazing message about being in church regularly. And Deborah mentioned, talking about hunger for God and a passion for God. You know what? Listen, you never know what's going to happen in a meeting. You never know when God's going to do something to you or put something in your spirit. You wouldn't want to miss the upper room, would you? I don't think I'll stay and watch TV tonight. You got filled with the Holy Ghost. You never know when God's... He's leading you. You ain't leading him. What happened? This man got a gift of faith. When did he get it? I'll tell you when he got it. He got it in Mark chapter 9, 23. When Jesus said, if you can, everything is possible to him who believes. Here's the good news. The boy gets delivered, gets set free from the demons and stands up. Oh, I got good news. When Jesus Christ steps into your situation, you'll get set free, delivered, and off you go into life. You see, his faith was here, but then his faith was here. Amen? He just needed a faith boost. That's how you get it. You get it after hungering after God. You get it when you're in the house of God and your pastors are preaching to you. You get it when you're in the Word and you open the Word early in the morning or late at night when you're all alone. When you shut off the BlackBerry and the computer and everything else and you get alone with God and God speaks to you. You get it when you're praying. You get it when you put the CD on. You get it when you come to the church prayer meeting. You get it when you're in fellowship. You get it when you never know when you're going to get it, but you'll get it. Because God never destined you to fail in life. Come on. There's more to this than you think. Amen. Jesus said all things are possible to him that believes. He just lifted his faith from here to here. Suddenly the man's got faith. He said, well, I believe that, Lord. Deliver my son. Bang. You might have come here tonight in your faith. You believe, but you just need a little help. I was like that. Gosh, I was like that. I was sort of down here a little bit. And then the Holy Spirit came to me and said, believe for the impossible. Bang, stuff started to happen. You might feel like you're here. And as I'm preaching the word to you, it wouldn't matter who was preaching the word to you. And suddenly the Holy Spirit gives you a gift of faith to believe for the impossible. For that thing you've given up on. For that healing, for that miracle. Take the shackles off God. He can save your kids. He can give you money. He can do everybody, anything he wants to do. Amen. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the gift of faith. You see, we live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. Book of Hebrews. We advance by faith. We're saved by faith. We move forward by faith. It's a faith thing. Say that, it's a faith thing. I'm preaching faith to you tonight. What does the Bible say about the impossible? Well, in Luke chapter 1, verse 36 says this, for nothing is impossible with God. What an awesome scripture. I want you to notice that. For nothing. What does the word nothing mean? Come on, does it mean this? In the Australian dictionary, it means nothing. Just look at that for a moment. Just look at that. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Come on, look at it. Meditate on it. Now, this is a story when Mary has a visitation from the angel. And the angel says to her, hey, Mary, you're highly favored. What a day that was for a lady. Amen. That was a real girl's night out, wasn't it? You're going to birth the Son of God. Yeah. He's going to be the Savior of the world. And what are her words? How's this going to happen? You know, when God speaks to you about something, many of us go, say what she said. How's this going to happen? You know what? Let me give you a little thought. Don't try and work it out in your mind. Your mind can't handle it. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. You try and work it out. You can't work it out. You just, faith defies all that's logical. Now, let me tell you something. I'm not weird. I don't do weird things. I don't live weird, pay my bills, or drive a car, or dress well, you know. I'm not kooky and... But you know what? Supernatural faith defies all that's logical. Can I just give you a little tip about healing? You get healed four ways. You get healed supernaturally, instantly. You get healed over time, number two. They were healed as they went. Do you notice that? The lepers were healed as they... Sometimes you get healed over time. Amen? The third way you get healed is you go to the doctor. Come on, encourage me. Doctors are a gift to us. They're beautiful. They have wisdom. Amen? The fourth way you get healed is a change of lifestyle. Less Coke, less fatty burgers, more walking, more water, more greens. Come on, come on. Whatever way God heals you, it's still God. Because he's the designer. Amen? So, I just throw that in. Is that all right? Where was I? Where was I, darling? Do you know where I was? I don't. Okay. What did I say before that? Mary. So, she says, like many of us, how's this going to be? And the angel says this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born in you will be called the Son of God. Now, let me tell you what happened. Your bit is to believe God. It's God's bit to do the miracle. Though she asked how, which is okay, in the end, after the angel spoke to her, this is what she said. Lord, I am your servant. May it be unto me as your word is said. Here's the key for you tonight, for what you've given up on. Take it back and speak the word of God over it. Amen? And what will happen? As you speak faith, now don't just speak faith once. Speak faith every day. Amen? Be like that widow who keeps knocking on the judge's door. Keep speaking faith. And you know what happened? The Holy Spirit will come upon your situation. And don't try and work out how. Amen? Because he's a big God. And his ways are not your ways. That's what I learned. I was going, God, maybe you're going to do it this way. And he did it that way. And then I was believing something else and he did it that way and this way. Just let God be God. All you got to do is believe him. Amen? Is this ministering to you? Okay. All right. Now, I just want to give you some thoughts on the supernatural. Jeremiah 32:17 says this, Our sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched hand. Nothing is too hard for you. Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them, Matthew 19:26, with man this is impossible, with God all things are possible. Faith is about believing God. Amen? And confessing the word over your life, even when you're sick, even when you're broke, even when the kids have gone south, as you say here, even when everything doesn't, faith, speak faith over your word and hang on to your dreams and get back what you believe for. How do I know that God wants to do this? Well, let's look at Romans quickly. Romans 8, 31 and 32. Look at these beautiful scriptures. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Listen to the next verse. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? I want you to look at that second part. Notice the word all in there. What does the word all mean in America? In the Australian dictionary, all means all. So here's the thought. If God gave you Jesus, is anything else a problem? What's your part? Believe it. If God gave you the most precious thing he could give you, and that's what's preached in this church, Jesus Christ, and he is exalted. He gave you his son as his gift, and he died on the cross for you and suffered and went to hell and then rose again to save you from your sin and the power of darkness. Is anything else a problem? Amen? See, I really believe this. So you don't need to give up what you've given up on. Do you want me to say that again? You don't need to give up what you give. You need to get it back. Ooh, I nearly fell on my back. Is God speaking to your heart tonight? He wants you to live in victory. He is the great God over all gods. All other gods are false gods. He loves you. He wants to forgive you, give you a life, and he wants to give you the desires of your heart. You need to get back what you've given up on. Amen? Because God doesn't want to get to the end of time and you say, Lord, you couldn't do it. He said, yeah, I can do it. Is your faith rising? Not going to be long tonight. Is that good? God specializes in the supernatural. In fact, God came to me one night and said to me, I was praying for something else. And he said, stop praying for that. I want you to pray for the impossible to happen. Stunned me. Suddenly my gift of faith came that night. I went from here to here. I had a knee that I damaged playing rugby. I lived in pain every day. I limped around. Suddenly, God gave me faith for my knee. I had a situation where we'd planted a church and it was so hard. We were in this hotel and they were so mean to us and it felt like they were going to kick us out. And God said, believe me to fix this. Amen? We had another family situation and you know what? It seemed impossible. You know, I can tell you, those three things, we had three great miracles. I don't live in pain anymore. My family got reconciled, and I got favor in that hotel. Now, let me tell you a key quickly. One morning I woke up in the middle of this whole thing after this had happened, because when I started, I suddenly got the gift of faith, and I went, what's, you know, it's going to happen? It didn't happen. In fact, it got worse. My knee got worse. Family got worse. Situation, the whole got. And I woke up one day, 8 months later, and all I did, I just kept persevering and trusting God. I woke up one day and the Lord said to me, there's a defining moment. And I said, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Months went by and then nothing happened. And then suddenly, the Lord spoke to me and he said one day, almost jokingly to me, in a way that was sort of, he said, Mark, the defining moment came when you decided not to give up. You see, the word of God is true. There's nothing he can't do in your life. Amen? If you will be like Mary and speak the word of God over it, don't look at your situation. Speak the promise of God over it. Speak faith over it. Get into your prayer closet. Pray over your kids. Don't go, you don't have to go pray over their heads. Pray for them. Pray for your finances, your health. Amen. Pray for your dreams. God wants you to have your dreams to come to pass because now they're his dreams. And I want to finish with this in Mark chapter 4. You getting blessed tonight? Amen. Mark chapter 4, 35 to 41 says this. When the day had become evening, he said to his disciples, let's cross over to the other side, leaving the crowd behind. It took him along. He was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious storm came up. Waves broke over the boat, began filling with water, nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern asleep on a cushion. Disciples woke him up and said, teacher, don't we care, we are perishing. He got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, said, peace be still. The wind died down. It was completely calm. It was a great calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Where is your faith? They were terrified and looked at each other and said, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Mark chapter 5 verse 1 says this, and they came to the other side. I want you to notice a little thought as I come to a close here. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35, he says these words, let us cross over to the other side. I want everyone to say that. Let us cross over to the other side. Do you know those words are written in red? I said this last time. You know, because there's nothing new under the sun. Because I've lived by this. You know, there are certain commands in the Bible. What are the commands in the Bible? Love God. Love your neighbor. What else? Come on. Don't murder. Honor your mother and father. Okay. You think about this. He commanded them to cross over. Let me tell you a thought that God gave me. God has never destined you to fail in life. Now, I'm not talking about when you have a bad day, you kick the dog, or fight with the wife, or you get the sack, or, you know, you did something wrong and made a mistake. I'm not talking about, you know, when you have a meltdown and you know, this conflict. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about the big picture. Amen? He's destined you to get to where you're meant to be. Amen? So he said, so God's heart is for you to get to the other side. Amen? You got that? So they got in the boat and the storm breaks in. So they got in the boat, Jesus is asleep, and then it's okay for a while, and then a storm breaks out. Waters, winds coming in the boat, they feel like it's over. And they say, we're perishing. You know, at that point, they're going, where's God? I want to tell you something. If you take your journey with God, there will be some storms, okay? But don't equate a storm with failure. A storm doesn't mean you've failed. You're just in a storm, okay? Why was Jesus asleep? Because I tell you why he was asleep. And why was he mad when he got up? He wasn't mad with them because he didn't love them. He was mad because they should have stood up on the boat and spoke to the storm themselves. Amen? They should have spoke to what they've given up on. They should have stood up on that bow and went, cease. That's what God wants you to do. As you take the journey, he wants you to stand on your boat and begin to speak faith to your storm. He needs to speak faith to your opposition. He needs you to speak faith to your health problems, to your financial problems. Why? Because he has destined you to go over. If God has destined you to succeed, that's half the battle, isn't it? Then you're going to make it. Why? Because underneath are the everlasting arms. Here's a thought. Now, last night I was preaching this, and Jim said on the way home, you've got to say this correctly. So I've got to say it correctly. Amen? He commanded them to go over, but they felt like they were going under. Who knows what under means? Down. So I'm going to say that. They were commanded to go over, but they felt like they were going down. Amen? Here's the thought. You're going over, you're not going down. You're not going down with health issues, you're going over. You're not going down with financial problems, you're going over. You're not going to sink with family problems, you're going to make it, and it's going to be all worked out. Why? Because God is the God of the impossible. Your dreams are going to come to pass. You're not going down because you're going up. Amen? Say that. I'm not going down, I'm going up. Say it again. I'm not going down. I'm going up. In fact, I'm going over. I want you to notice the last verse of Matthew, the first verse of Matthew, Mark chapter 5, says this. And they came to the other side. Did they make it? Yes. Everyone say, they came to the other side. Amen. He commanded them to go over. They didn't go down. Felt like they were going down. They didn't go down. They used their faith. They should have used their faith. He taught them a lesson. When you take the journey and it feels like you're going down, you're not really going down, because what you need to do is speak faith and you'll get to the other side. So I say it this way. I'm not going under, I'm going over. How's that? And they trip down under there. Is your faith rising?
Yes.
Say, I'm not going down. I'm going over. Because God has destined me to go over. God's not against you, he's for you. He who spared not his only son, but freely gave him up for you. How shall he not freely give you? Stand to your feet. I'm going to hand to Pastor Dan. Did God speak to your heart?